It's a brand new football season. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders, Le'Veon Bell is with the Jets, and Odell Beckham Jr. is in Cleveland. The one thing that hasn't changed, though, where I'm putting my money down on all the games. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. Our Blue Wire podcasters are using MyBookie.com/BlueWire to sign up this year. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sportsbook, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. So all you got to do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. MyBookie has live in-game betting on every NFL game, and they've got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, and get paid.
Hey, this is Cash Considerations. What's going on, Jason?
Good to have you back, Ricky. I missed you last week. We did have Mark Karantsoulis from Bulls HQ kind of filling in for you. It was great. Talked about a bunch of stuff. We talked about the schedule. Rick, how's it feel to be back? It's the middle of August. Don't have too much going on these days in the NBA, although I know we've been keeping busy doing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, no, I just looked it up. The Bulls have 48 days until their first preseason game on October 7th, and there are 64 games until October 23rd when they open the year up against the Charlotte Hornets. So this is kind of the dead period of the calendar. I was on a fishing trip last weekend. I was in Sturgeon Bay. In Door County, just yanking smallmouth bass out of the water. I also was spending some time in Iowa helping my girlfriend move into law school there. So I feel like I've gotten a little bit away from the grind of the NBA, but it's coming. And we actually have some optimism to talk about this year. We can start with the one thing that caught my eye over this last week, and that was the NBA rookie survey. Always makes headlines every single season. I remember last year, I think Luka Doncic finished like sixth or something in the player voting in terms of who would win Rookie of the Year. Well, they did it again this season, and Kobe White actually got quite a bit of praise. I know you wrote about it today at Bloggable.
I did. Before we talk about Kobe White, you talked about optimism in the Bulls. Kobe White's kind of part of that, hopefully. You talk about maybe betting on the Bulls at some point and betting on that over. Again, shout out to MyBookie. MyBookie.com and Blue Wire. We're partnering with them, doing some good stuff. So please check out them again. But and also, like I said, with the Bulls, I'm saying hammer that over. Not necessarily because of Kobe White this year, maybe going into the future. But yes, NBA rookie survey is a thing that John Schumann, NBA.com, does annually every single year. He's done it for the last, basically, I think he said 11 out of the last 13 years. He polls a bunch of the rookies. I think he got 42 of them this year. And Kobe White actually showed up in five categories. He got at least one vote. And that was tied for the most categories for any rookie to get at least one vote with only, I think, Carson Edwards was the other one. So, yeah, Kobe White, five categories, got votes. Let me pull up the article I wrote about it at Bloggable, like you said. So, Rookie of the Year, Zion Williamson naturally got the most votes for that, although it was only 35%, wasn't quite as many as I thought he would. Ja Morant was at 27%. White got one vote for Rookie of the Year, which I think, I think that kind of makes sense. I've said before that I think he's going to struggle a bit his rookie season. I have some faith in him maybe coming along as the season goes on, but I think to start his rookie year, and we've talked about how Tomas Satoransky is probably going to start a point guard. Maybe Ryan Arcidiacono, Chris Dunn is still here for now. Maybe he's getting more minutes. We'll see how much Kobe White actually plays at the start. Because I don't think he's going to be able to rack up the numbers to really get a Rookie of the Year to be in serious consideration for that award. But somebody still voted for him. I know with this voting, you couldn't vote for yourself, and I think you couldn't vote for college teammates. You couldn't vote for if you were on somebody with an NBA teammate either. Somebody else picked Kobe White. Maybe it was, I guess, Cam Johnson couldn't. We see that's a college teammate. But somebody who's liking Kobe White for Rookie of the Year, do you think he has any chance to come anywhere close to that award?
No, probably not, and that's okay. But what I do think is cool is that the players around the league really seem to respect Kobe's game because this was, voted on by his peers. So they could have said anyone. And it seems like, you know, the other guys in this class who have grown up playing against Kobe and AAU, who saw him at North Carolina, all seem to have a lot of confidence in his game, which is awesome. Now, I don't know how much stock we can put into this, considering Cam Reddish got 19% of the vote, more than any rookie, in terms of who's going to have the best career. Zion, like you said, tied with Kobe in that with 5%. So that's just totally insane. I really don't think there's a 5% chance Kobe White's going to have the best career of anyone in this class. I suppose it could happen if Zion gets injured or something terrible like that, but it is nice to see Kobe getting some love from his peers.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I guess like 5% chance, like in like a vacuum, sure, like whatever. The fact that he's like tied with Zion is absolutely wild, and the Cam Reddish love here is, I just don't get it. Like, I know we've been critical about him before. And like I said, Zion was only down at 5, so guys like Ja Morant got ahead of him. DeAndre Hunter got ahead of Zion as well. RJ Barrett and Jackson Hayes both also had 5%. Like, I just don't really guys know what they're thinking. I guess, like, we're just so high on Zion, we just assume that he's going to have the best career out of all these guys. Just a perennial all-star, possible future Hall of Famer. So, like, I don't know what these guys are thinking here. Maybe they were just kind of going against the grain. Maybe they're sick of Zion getting all this hype. I don't know what's going on there.
I just want to say that Kobe White is just such a joy in general. Like, the rookie photo shoot he did of him basically playing in a ball pit that you would see in the McDonald's play section when you were a kid. So good. He is just such like an infectious smile, I think, and he's going to have a really good personality for the rest of the young guys on this team. It just seems like dudes really like playing with him, and you know, this rookie survey showed they respect his game, so I think that's really fun. I was also brushing up on a couple videos that have been happening since the draft. Basically, there's this thing where outlets keep asking these dudes about the 90s, and then they kind of embarrass themselves because, you know, they were born either in the late 90s or the early 2000s. Kobe White was born February 16th, 2000. So there was a segment during the draft of them asking all the players, like, oh, you know, here's a picture of Nintendo. Do you know what this is? Here's a picture of Destiny's Child. Do you know what this is? And the answers were absolutely hilarious because the kids were all born after that. I also was watching a segment during Summer League when Kobe White was on the jump with Rachel Nichols and Vince Carter, and they were putting up, like, pictures of people from the 90s trying to give him a chance at redemption. They were throwing Pauly Shore at him and being like, do you know who this is? Kobe White's like, no, I don't know who this is. So... You know, as long as Kobe just keeps the same vibe and the same energy he's got going on into this year, I think that he's going to be really fun to root for and fun to watch for Bulls fans.
Yeah, the one I saw, I think was like, I think Bomani Jones retweeted this. It was something about, I think like, did it was certain Biggie lyrics. I can't remember the song, but like obviously Biggie is like before their time in terms of rappers. Right. And like, I feel like none of them like knew these words. And Bomani was just like, why are we asking these kids this? Like, obviously they're not going to. I mean, some guys might, but like most of these guys, they're listening to, like, I'm not a huge draft fan, but I mean, they're listening to Drake, Kendrick Lamar. I think there was another one they did, was like One's Gotta Go, and it was like Drake, Kendrick Lamar, and I can't remember who was the third one. Either way, but just, yeah, just those videos are always kind of funny when they do that. And yeah, just to wrap up here with the Kobe White rookie survey stuff, the other categories that he got votes in was biggest steal, which is interesting because he was the number 7 pick. He was the highest pick to get a vote. He got 5% of the vote here. Bull Bull, your guy, and Kevin Porter Jr. led the way in this, in that category. And then I said Kobe White was one of 3 top 10 picks. I believe Jackson Hayes and Cam Reddish also got votes in this category. Moving on, best defender. I feel like Kobe White's not really known as a great defender, so the fact that he got a vote in here was interesting. Matisse Thybulle, I believe, and DeAndre Hunter were the leaders in that category. And then best playmaker, Ja Morant, the big winner there. Obviously, that's an easy one to pick. And then Darius Garland, and then Kobe White and Ty Jerome both had 10%. I mean, I feel like that makes sense. Kobe White was the third point guard taken. He basically comes in third, tied with Ty Jerome behind Ja Morant, Darius Garland. So yeah, like you said, Kobe just seems like a joy, as you said, just having a lot of fun. You mentioned the ball pit. I used one of those pics for the image on the bloggable post, which was just funny and fun to look at. The video that went viral on draft night when he was just kind of talking about how much he loved to see Cam Johnson from his teammate in North Carolina get picked by the Suns, even He was even shocked. Everyone was shocked the Suns went that high with Cam, and he was too, and that whole reaction was great. So, yeah, Coby White, even, like I said, he might struggle to start his career. I'm kind of expecting it. Seems like a really fun, easy guy to root for, and hopefully he develops as the year goes on. Mentioned talking about the Bulls and just being optimistic about them possibly making being going for a playoff chase, whether Coby White plays into that in a big way or not. We have some new projected win-loss analytics come out in this last week or so. We will start with the ESPN ones from Kevin Pelton. He uses RPM, the real plus-minus stat. It's a stat I like to look at a lot. It's for players, for teams over at ESPN. Just a quick explanation. They use a multi-year predictive version of RPM. They adjust for typical player aging and kind of their player age curves, and then they use some other projecting systems there. And the Bulls come in at ninth in the Eastern Conference with 39 wins, just behind the Brooklyn Nets out of the playoffs. The Nets are at 41, so that's basically a little less than 2 wins behind their playoff chances at 49%. And the little blurb here for the Bulls is basically the additions of Otto Porter Jr., Tomas Satoransky, and Thaddeus Young give the Bulls a lot more proven talent. It gets rid of a lot of their weak performers of the rotation, gets them out, assuming there aren't that many injuries. And I think that kind of makes sense. I feel like that's still a little maybe over what I'm thinking. I've been thinking 35 to 37, but kind of around there. I feel like a lot of these projections have had that. And I met one of the other ones, 538, they just updated theirs as well. They had the Bulls, I think, last time in early August. It was either 36 or 37. Now it has them up at 38 wins in with a 55% chance of making the playoffs, basically tied with the Brooklyn Nets. It's interesting that they have the Nets at 38 wins. Not very high in the Nets, which I think a lot of people are. So basically as the Bulls, again, fighting for the 8 seed with the Nets, with the Pistons, kind of stuff like that. The ESPN rankings also has the Pistons at 39.2 wins right behind the Bulls. And I think that's kind of where a lot of people have been thinking, like the Bulls will be kind of fighting with the Pistons, maybe the Magic, teams, the Pacers maybe, depending on the Heat, how that goes. And clearly the Nets, we'll see how it works out for them. These numbers make sense, don't they? I think we've kind of been talking about this all summer since these free agency moves.
Yeah, man, this is the expectation this year, is that the Bulls are going to win 40 games. There was also the Jacob Goldstein projection that you guys talked about a little bit last week. That had the Bulls at 38.9 wins. The ESPN Carmelo projection had them at a 55% chance of making the playoffs. So I think it's good to have some internal pressure. And I know that, you know, for me, for this podcast and in what I write and what I tweet, I am going to expect the Bulls make the playoffs, because if they don't, I think it's a huge indictment on Boylan. That was the one decision that has sort of been in line with the history of Paxson and Foreman decisions that the Bulls have made over, let's say, the last 6 to 8 months. Because basically, since I wrote the Fire John Paxson article on Bloggable, which was in early December, that was after the early days of Boylan's tenure, after the mutiny. Since then, the Bulls have made some good decisions that are totally out of character. After that, the big move they made was trading for Otto Porter Jr., who I think is the best player on the team heading into this season. Being able to deal Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis for Otto Porter Jr. was just such a tremendous move. And if you remember, the last time the Bulls made a trade to actually improve the team was way back in 2009, the year they ultimately played the Celtics in that epic first-round series with the rookie D-Rose and Ben Gordon. That's when they acquired Brad Miller and John Salmon. So fact that it took them that long to actually make a trade to improve the team, but credit him for doing it. So I think that was, you know, the first thing that really changed in terms of the Bulls doing something out of character and it being really good. Then look at free agency this year. They gave, I think, $28 million per year combined to Thad Young, Luke Kornet, and Tomas Satoransky. Last year, they gave $20 million to Jabari Parker. So Jabari Parker was, that signing was very much in line with how the Paxson Foreman regime has treated free agency over the last, I don't know, 10 years, mostly zeroing in on big names, guys who put up huge point per game totals, who have scoring ability, but sort of contribute empty stats, don't give you much else besides for scoring the ball. I think Dwayne Wade totally falls into that category. I think that Pau Gasol falls into that category. Then you had Jabari. I think that John Paxson probably didn't expect for the Bulls to be as shitty as they were last season, He had the easy crutch of injuries being the reason the team failed, to make any kind of improvement. They were actually worse, right? They won five less games than they did the year before. But, what you have to remember is that all these projections last year, these preseason projections, had the Bulls as one of the worst teams in the league. That's because while Paxton might have thought they improved the roster by signing a guy like Jabari Parker and thinking he was going to be their small forward of the future, they really didn't. All they did was do themselves a disservice. This year, this is the year they actually improved the team by getting a great third big in Thaddeus Young, who's going to be such a tremendous defensive complement, especially to both Wendell Carter and Lauri Markkanen, by getting Thomas Satoransky a total steal to pluck him as a restricted free agent for 3 years, $30 million. I thought there was no chance you could get Satoransky for that type of a deal as an RFA. Washington, obviously, they didn't even have a GM when free agency began. That might be the one front office that's more discombobulated than the Bulls, but credit the Bulls for identifying the Wizards as, a potentially questionable team and being able to steal some good players. So, I'm pretty optimistic right now. Obviously, the Boylan thing hangs over everything. But first, a quick word from our sponsor, Harry's. If shaving is a terrible experience for you, we've got you covered at Blue Wire. Our podcast network is teaming up with Harry's to make sure our listeners are shaving comfortably. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to save $10 on a value trial set, which includes a 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, in a travel blade cover. You get all of that for just $3 shipped right to your door. Enough with the low quality razors from convenience stores. It's totally worth trying Harry's. Sign up today. Harry's has fixed shaving by combining a simple, clean design with quality and durable blades at a fair price. Harry's founders were tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. So Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making quality blades for 95 years. Join the 10 million who've tried Harry's. Claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. All of Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. Again, make sure you go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your razor for just $3.
Guys are terrible at taking care of their health. Whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse, guys are usually more comfortable just rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. Same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman has created an easy way to chat with a doctor online. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED, if appropriate, from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You can handle everything online in a convenient, discreet manner. But getting started is very simple. So just go to getroman.com/bluewire so you can complete an online visit. If your doctor decides that treatment would be appropriate, they can then prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging right to your door, and that's with free two-day shipping, which is great. So guys, please, go talk to the doctor. Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle for sure, but it's really important to get it checked out. With Roman, it's easy to connect with a doctor. So just go to getroman.com/bluewire to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's getroman.com/bluewire for a free visit to get started. Getroman.com/bluewire.
Okay, so back to what we were talking about before with some of these win projections. I'm curious of your opinion on this, Jason. Like, I actually do have some trust in the Bulls to make good decisions right now because they've done it for a period of, 8 months at this point, starting with the Porter trade through free agency. Obviously, I think there's a huge amount of pressure on Jim Boylan, and people like me and you and all the fans should be putting it on Jim Boylan. Like, I was so critical of Boylan at the start of his tenure. I want him to prove me wrong. I do think that his personality is a little bit endearing. I think that maybe some of, the drill sergeant tendencies we saw during that first week or two might not be the real Boylan. He does seem to really care about his players. He's always praising them in the media. Obviously, his vocabulary is totally ridiculous. And he's going to talk like that, and it'll be fun for us to kind of mock a little bit. But it does seem like he really cares about the players, which is something I thought of Thibodeau, too, when Thibodeau had a reputation as such a drill sergeant. You never heard Thibodeau badmouth a player. Very similar to Jim Boylan. This isn't like Jim Boeheim, who's like ripping his own kids in the press for thinking about turning pro. Like, Boylan actually has the player's best interest at heart. I believe, at least after, you know, he stopped making him do suicides and push-ups. Jason, do you think that, you know, the Bulls' decision making is trustworthy now? Or do you think that we're, you know, a little too optimistic with that line of reasoning given the last 10 years?
I would say I don't want to jump too far ahead. Like I think having the optimism is fine. Can I say I totally trust them to like build a legitimate title contender right now? I cannot say that. No. They made some nice moves. I mean, I guess we've seen them make moves in the past where they've built solid teams, and obviously they were basically a title contender when Derrick Rose blew up into an MVP. That was obviously kind of lucky getting that number one pick. They would have probably been in basketball hell if that didn't happen, if they would have gotten like seventh or eighth in 2008, and who knows what would have happened from there. Getting Rose was a godsend for them. They'd probably be gone if Derrick Rose didn't fall into their lap when they won the lottery that year. So they still have a lot to prove that they can turn a plucky, fun, young team, which they could be this season, into a team that can actually contend and then also sustain that type of contention. So I'm not going to come out here and say that, like Garpacks, they're safe now for sure. Like they still have to come out and win. I mean, we'll see how they do. Because like if they fall flat this year, I'm going to come out again and say that they probably need a change. Even if we're talking about that these moves come out good, if Boylan fails, I mean, especially if Boylan fails, you talk about how I feel like that's setting up for a lot of pressure on Boylan. And if Boylan is screwing up again, if they don't buy into a system and he struggles to instill a system, and they just can't play well, and if they struggle in part because of him, it's obviously not all in the coaching. It will be on the players as well, but it's going to be big for Boylan because they've obviously put a lot into him. John Paxson has been totally behind him. He was totally behind him when he started. He stayed behind him through all the hot mess that last season was. So I mean, if Boylan fails, that really should be it for this front office, and we've been saying that forever. Like, after each failure, this should be it for them. So yeah, I mean, I think they need to take a step forward. Like I'm
Yeah.
curious, like what would you consider like a failure for this season to be?
I would think like 33 wins would be a failure. You know, like if they don't even flirt with the playoffs, if they're like 10 or 11, I also think that them getting hurt a lot would constitute a failure because we heard Paxson in the end of season press conference get on his
Yep.
podium and be like, you know, we have everything for these players to stay healthy in our building. Well, what happened? Wendell Carter Jr. is working out in your building and he gets injured. He injures his abdominal muscle and needs to have surgery on it. So he's already out. So the Bulls need to stay healthy this year. I think, again, it's going to put their culture under a microscope. I don't think that Paxson and Foreman are actually in danger of losing their jobs because Reinsdorf doesn't really give a shit. They're not held accountable. We all know that at this point. But I do think that some of the incessant media criticism and criticism from the fan base who are buying Fire Garpacks billboards, who are hosting a Fire Garpacks night, I think that some of that stuff maybe did make Paxson, Michael Reinsdorf, Gar a little more open to just like not doing things the same way they've always done them, right? Like they definitely like signing Satoransky and Thad Young were just like not typical Paxson Foreman moves. So that's why I have a little bit of optimism. Injuries could totally derail it. Boylan being terrible could derail it. But seeing preseason win projections that have the Bulls winning 40 games after they won 22 games last year, man, I'm excited. And I think that, you know, Bulls fans deserve to be excited. We deserve to be excited because they're actually making right moves now. And I'm sure there'll be people who throw this in our face and in other critics' faces and say, oh, you know, you just had to give the young guys a little more time to mature. No, the Bulls were projected to be terrible the last couple of years because they were making terrible moves. This year, they totally changed their line of thinking, made moves that were totally outside the realm of the Paxson Foreman administration, and now they're projected to be good because they are better.
Yeah, and to your point about this, like them kind of knowing, I'm sure they hear all the noise. Stefan noted that whole article at The Athletic with Michael Reinsdorf acknowledging like all the like m messages and like emails or whatever that he gets from fans who are pissed. I mean, they know how mad fans are with how garbage that they've basically been for the last whatever few years since Tibbs was gone. It's basically just been a total shit show. So I think they definitely do hear it. They are feeling some pressure here, and I think it is also just kind of nice to have this pressure of like more expectations, because then like if they fall short, we'll know it. Like if they completely flop, and if there are, and you mentioned the injury thing, like if the young guys get injured again, well, that's like a problem. Like these guys, like if Lowry gets hurt again, like, well, that'll be like 3 straight years of him getting hurt. If like Zach misses time, like, well, he's had injury problems as well, then that might spur on bigger changes about with this young core. So that's, yeah, I mean, this year really is huge. Like this could be like a, I don't want to say make or break, because they are still have a lot of young guys, but like for this core, it might be a make or break here, because if they don't make any, if they like barely get any better and they're like really bad again, like I really don't know how you can like then go ahead again the next year with like some of these same core players. But if they do move forward, then I mean, that's obviously a great sign. And if they do their team that flirts with the playoffs or maybe even gets in, then that's a great sign for possibly then moving ahead again the next year, maybe taking a bigger step, and then maybe you're in a position to maybe get a superstar in the next couple of years. So, yeah, like I said, I don't want to go full-blown, like, this is make or break for the Bulls this year, but it's a huge year.
Yeah, absolutely, especially because, you know, sort of their plan is to, you know, not do anything next year in free agency, because they're not going to have any cap space, but the summer after that in 2021 to make a big splash in free agency. That only happens if the young core continues to improve and to gel. I really think Carter is going to be in for a big season. I think Markkanen should be in for a good year. He's got some pressure on him, but he's a talented player. There's no doubt he can score the ball. He's got some flaws in his game in terms of being able to create for teammates, being able to defend and rebound, but he can definitely score. He's a high-level shooter at 7 feet tall. He can have a positive impact on team performance. I actually like LaVine quite a bit if he were in a secondary role, but having him be the lead decision maker is kind of where this falls apart. I would like to see the Bulls put the ball in Wendell Carter Jr.'s hands more as a passer and as a decision maker. I think that he makes really quick decisions. He's a really smart player. He's a better passer than the Bulls allowed him to be last year when Boylan was just running him to, you know, post up after post up, which is basically the worst way to utilize his talent. He's got to be more of a face up big, more of a decision maker this year. And I'm really interested to see what Satoransky does. We know Satoransky, sort of like the book on him, is that he is so calculated as a decision maker that it almost comes at a cost, right? Like he's a good player, but he's not aggressive. People who watched him in Washington consistently thought that, you know, this guy could be scoring more or making a bigger impact offensively if he was a little more aggressive. Instead, he's a very measured player. So it's going to be interesting to see just how the Bulls run the offense this year, who's the primary decision maker, how they use Wendell. Is Boylan still going to post him up? Is he, you know, going to let him be a face-up big a little more? Is LaVine going to be running a lot of the pick and rolls? What happens with Chris Dunn? There's still a lot of questions, no doubt, but, you know, for the first time in a while, I actually have some optimism in the Bulls front office and, you know, in this team in general.
Yeah, we've been saying it all summer that it's hopefully they've started to turn a corner, arrow pointed in the right direction. We still got a bit of summer left. Like, training camp probably opens, what, end of September, beginning of October, and the season starts a week later than it did last year. They'd been moving it up for a while. Now it's back to, like, October, I think it was the 23rd, something like that. So we still got a couple months till the season actually starts. So we're just going to try to ride this optimism until it starts, and then hopefully they can keep it going with it. They get off to a hot start. Like I don't know how much you dove into the schedule, but they have the opportunity to get off to a really nice start. They got a nice little soft schedule to start the season. So hopefully we can keep riding this optimism through training camp, through preseason, and into the start of the season. Maybe we'll have a springboard into a fun season, because we've been waiting for an actually fun bowl season for a long time now. I feel like I've mentioned this multiple times. Like, I feel like there hasn't been like a fun bowl season since like Joakim Noah's MVP type campaign in 2013-2014. Because the year after that they were good, but it was still all the Tibbs drama. And then after that, Hoiberg's first year was awful. And then three alphas. And then the last couple years just hasn't really been that fun. Like, it's just been kind of a chore to watch the Bulls. So we're just really hoping that this year will be different for the first time in like half a decade.
All right, I think that wraps it up, yeah?
I think it does, yeah. Great to have you back, Ricky. As always, shout out to Blue Wire Pods. Shout out to MyBookie. Again, please go check out MyBookie.com and use code promo BlueWire. And thanks to all our other sponsors out there. Go follow all the other Blue Wire podcasts across the network. We're growing. We're working really hard here. We got new podcasts coming in basically every week. Bunch of sports, bunch of different stuff. So please check out BlueWire.com, add Blue Wire Pods on Twitter. We're doing a lot of stuff on Twitter now as well. For our podcast, Cash Considerations, please go rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all that fun stuff. So for this week, this has been Cash Considerations, the Chicago Bulls podcast. Jason, Ricky, take it easy, my man. We'll talk to you guys next week.